Welcome, friends, to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and I'm always happy to say it's Inspirational Truth time once again, and to greet you in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. If he isn't yours, he can be. If he isn't yours, he wants to be. If he isn't yours, he came to be. Luke 19 and 10 tells us, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. The benefits of being saved, being in Christ, having your sins under the blood, having your name recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. Listen, friend, the benefits of that in eternity are far greater than dying without Him, dying lost, dying with no hope, dying headed for a Christless eternity. Well, Debbie and I are humbled that you've chosen to tune in with us today, and we pray that our time together will be a blessing. As always, I'm excited about the message, excited about the song that Deb's got queued up, tuned up, and ready to go. And it's one of her finest, I think. I'm telling you, down at the church where I have the privilege of pastoring, man, I'll tell you what, it just, people just get right into it when she sings it. The title of it is, Oh, What an Honor. But before she sings, and she's going to just momentarily, I've opened my Bible to the book of Philippians, chapter 1, right after the book of Ephesians, right before the book of Colossians, and I'm going to share the message with you from that passage. But here's Debbie right now with, Oh, what an honor to serve the King. He owns it all. He owns everything. I know you'll enjoy this. By the way, if you want any of her music, all you got to do is write and let us know. Any of these programs the same. You can find them on InspirationalTruths.com, by the way. Here's Deb.
Last night I was dreaming. I stood in a place, standing in the midst of a throne. Like a little girl in all of her dreams, I was dressed in royalty. I wondered how this could be, for I'm just a pauper, you see. Then I heard a thundering voice. It was speaking to me. For you I paid a great price, one day on Calvary.
Oh, what an honor.
friend, and I'll tell you what, it is an honor to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What a privilege it is to know that my sins are under the blood, my name's recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life, that I'm sealed with the Spirit, I'm filled with the Spirit, I'm on my way to heaven. Jesus found me on my way to hell, found me in the kingdom of darkness, and translated me and put me into the kingdom of light. Friend, I'll tell you what, that's a glorious, glorious thing. Debbie, thank you for that song. It's beautiful, absolutely beautiful, and I appreciate it. You know what I believe, folks? I believe the Apostle Paul would have sung that song. I believe we can find that sentiment here in the book of Philippians chapter 1 as we look at three different verses of Scripture. Well, actually, I'm going to read four. And I'm going to take the thoughts out of them. I think it'll be easier for you to see and to discern what those thoughts are as I read these four passages of Scripture. Excuse me. This is what he said in verse 5. He said, and I'm going to pick it up in verse 3 just to get the flow of it. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Look at verse 7. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers of my grace. Look at what he goes on to say in verse 12. He said, but I would that ye should understand, brethren, that the things which have happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Look in verse 27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you, else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. I'm going to talk to you today, the good Lord willing, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to talk to you about three aspects of the gospel. Three aspects of the gospel. You say, what do you mean aspects, preacher? Well, I'm talking about a facet of the gospel, or a feature of the gospel, if you will. One part of it that, when you put them all together, friend, makes one gospel and one purpose for which Paul the Apostle and anyone else that proclaims it, anyone else that defends it, anyone else that loves it, anyone else that propagates it and defends it, friend, would say the same thing. How wonderful the gospel is. It's good news. Now, in this passage that I read from chapter 1, I believe you'll find that the name of Christ is used about 17 times. That's the number of times I counted it. And I forget right now the number of times that the word gospel is used. But can I tell you, this man by the name of the Apostle Paul, this man by the name of the Apostle Paul, the converted Jewish Pharisee, he was a prisoner. He was in bonds. That's what verse 7 says. He was down there in Rome in bondage. He wanted to go to Rome as a preacher. And he ended up going as a prisoner. But oh, you know what he did? He counted that reason to rejoice. He counted that reason to give God praise. He counted that reason as an opportunity, friend, listen now, to have fellowship in the gospel, for the furtherance of the gospel, and for the faith or the defense of the gospel, as he says in verse 7. What a wonderful thing that was. Paul wasn't lamenting. Paul wasn't weeping and wailing, but rather he was rejoicing in the Lord. You say, how could he be that way, preacher? How could he do that? No doubt he was in chains. Yes, he was. We'll see that in just a few moments of time. But you know what happened to Paul? Paul had a singleness of mind. I'm telling you, he had a heart for the things of God. And he had that singleness of mind in such a way that it enabled him to see life through the gospel, what his purpose was, what God's plan for him was, what his place was in the great big purpose, eternal purpose of Almighty God. And here he was. Like I said just a moment ago, he wanted to go to Rome as a preacher. He ended up going as a prisoner. But oh, you know what he did? Bless God, he used every moment, every opportunity that he had to promote and to proclaim and propagate the good news of the gospel that says Jesus saves whosoever will come to him. Now look, when I begin to think about and talk about in verse 5, the fellowship of the gospel, Paul is talking about the sons of God. Can I tell you, friend, listen, it takes more than chicken legs in your mouth to have fellowship around Christ. It takes eternal life. It takes eternal life in your heart to have real fellowship the way God meant it to be. And actually what fellowship means, it's more than just gathering around a table and sitting down with somebody and having a meal. Oh, that's a blessing. There's nothing wrong with that. Jesus ate a lot with his apostles and even with the publicans and the Pharisees to the point that they accused him of being a friend of sinners and publicans. And thank God he was. But can I tell you, Paul also sees us as servants in verse 12 where he said that we're here. We have the fellowship of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have eternal life abiding within us and not for the purpose of sitting down and sulking and soaking and souring, but to be busy about the furtherance of the gospel. As servants, friend, putting it forth. As servants, living it out of our life. As servants, carrying it and telling it everywhere we go to every man, woman, boy and girl that we have opportunity of sharing the good news of the gospel with. And look, we've got one more part of this. Paul says not only are we like sons, not only are we like servants, but according to verse 27, we're like soldiers. He said, Paul said this now, he mentioned the faith of the gospel. Hey, you know what we're to do? And that's why I brought verse 7 up. We, you and I, friend of Paul, was sent for the defense of the gospel. Defense and confirmation of the gospel. So are we. And that brings me to a point. When you look at the church at Philippi, Philippi is what is known as a Roman colony. And it was Rome's intent when they would choose certain cities and certain areas and make it a, quote, Roman colony, unquote. They did it with a purpose in mind. They would plant retired soldiers in those cities that would bring in Roman philosophy and ideologies. They would transform that city from whatever type of city that it was, whatever type of culture that it had, into a Roman-like city like Rome itself, with its theaters, with its stores, with its philosophies, with its ideologies, with its character, and with its behaviors. They would take that foreign piece of land that they had conquered through war, and as they would implement by putting in, or actually I could even say planting their people there with their Roman ways of life, they would actually transform that city into a Roman city away from Rome itself. And you know what Paul was saying? Hey folks, you and I that have been saved by the grace of God, you and I that have been washed by the blood of the Lamb, you and I that have been placed in Christ Jesus by grace through faith, you know what God wants us to do? God wants us to make everywhere we go, everywhere we are, into the likeness of heaven. That's what we're to do. We're to transform these places on planet Earth that we visit, that we live, that we traffic in. We're to make it as heaven-like as we can. In fact, we're to bring and make heaven on earth. Now, as we look at this passage of Scripture, As we look at this great letter that Paul wrote and penned by the Spirit of God to the church at Philippi, if he did not tell us that he was in bonds, if he did not talk about his chains, none of us, by the temperament of this message, would know that Paul was a prisoner. And yet he was. And as he spoke about him being a prisoner, do you know what he did? He put his emphasis not upon his circumstances, but he put it upon his opportunity. Do you know what Paul was doing? He was rejoicing. He was rejoicing in the singleness of mind that he had, that enabled him to see all of life, all of circumstances, through the lens of the gospel. Now, I don't know about you, sir, ma'am, but I've got a long way to go when it comes to that. But look at what Paul said again in verse 5. He talks about the fellowship in the gospel. Hey, look, friend, when you look at the word fellowship, it means to have things in common. And we that are saved, we who are born again by the Spirit of God, we have Christ. We have Christ within us. We have eternal life within us. And that's the only way that we can have fellowship in the gospel. Paul, listen, friend, knew that fellowship would involve at least three parts of him. Look there, where's it at? In verse 3, when he says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. He had them in their minds. And you know what? You know what else he said? He said over there in verse 7, he said, I have you in my heart. He had them in their thoughts, first of all, and second of all, in his heart. He loved the others who were in Christ. And look at what he said finally. Where's it at? I can't see it right now, and it's right before me. In verse 9, and this I pray. He had them in his thoughts, in his heart, in his love, and in his prayers. But wait just a minute. Paul said these things happened for the furtherance of the gospel. Now you say, where was Paul? He was a prisoner. Somewhere near the palace, I think, of Herod. I mean to tell you, he was close by the palace. And because he was, do you know what the Word of God says? The gospel message went into places that it otherwise would not have been able to go. Look, Paul, you know what the word furtherance means there? It means having a pioneering spirit, having a pioneering advance. They tell me, linguists tell me, that is used for an army that is being successful, that is going forth, that is conquering the enemy. And you know what? It makes advances. Paul said the gospel here in Rome, here in the palace, in a place where I'm being guarded by soldiers. I'm chained to them day in and day out. You know what Paul said? He said the gospel is being advanced. It's being advanced in unusual places. He said opportunities have been opened to me because of three things. Number one, my chains. Paul was in chains. Isn't that amazing? I mean to tell you, he was chained to Roman soldiers. Some of them, no doubt, centurions maybe. Maybe a quatrain of them or 16 at one time, like Peter was. And where's it at? Chapter 11 of the book of Acts. But wait just a minute. Although he was in prison, he knew, friend, that he had chains. He could see him, but he heard of the critics. Some that would preach Christ out of envy and strife, mocking him and doing it in a derogatory way. Others, though, preached him in love. Paul said, listen, what, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I do therein rejoice and will rejoice. Paul wouldn't have put his hand of approval upon every message that every, quote, minister, unquote, preached in that day when he was in the Roman prison that he was in. But can I tell you what Paul found ability as he looked through life circumstances, through the lens of the gospel. He said, I'm going to rejoice because Christ is proclaimed. The gospel is being spoken. Men hear about the death, burial, the resurrection of this man by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who was God's only begotten Son, Mary's virgin born. Paul, listen, friend, Paul was in chains. He had to deal with criticism, even a personal crisis, knowing that to go and to be with the Lord was far better. But you know what he said? He said, it's more necessary for you that I abide in the flesh. Oh, look, Paul knew of the fellowship of the gospel. He was happy that the gospel was making advances. He enjoyed talking about the furtherance of the gospel. I mean, how God had opened new ways and new opportunities to win the lost and to spread, listen, friend, the good news into all the world as he and the message that he proclaimed was strengthening the brethren who were in truth in Christ, who gained boldness because of Paul's bonds. But because of time, I've got to move on. Let's look at the last point in verse 27. Paul said, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. And I'm talking about lifestyle there. Boy, that would preach a long time, would it not? He said, whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the furtherance of the faith of the gospel. Isn't that amazing? Paul said, now look, we've been given a body of truth. Jude said that it was once for all given to us. Paul said in 1 Timothy 1 and 11, God gave it to me. That's exactly what he said. He said, according to the glorious gospel, the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. And Paul knew that he wasn't to keep it and be selfish with it. But according to verse 20 of chapter 6, Paul said, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Paul got it and Paul kept it, but he gave it to Timothy. He put it in his trust. And Paul instructed Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Do you know what Paul said? Paul said, listen, we're to preserve the faith. We're to, in verse 7, defend and confirm the gospel. Isn't that amazing? We must defend it in the day and the hour that we live in. This day, friend, when, according to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, the Spirit speaketh expressly in the latter days that some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Sir, brother, sister, ma'am, I'm telling you, we're in that day. We're in the last day when deceit is one of the key words of this hour. Deceit. And Jesus said, let no man deceive you. You ought to turn over there and read Matthew 24 and see how many times the word deceive is used in the first part of that Sermon on the Mount. We're up against it today, friend. We're up against it. And can I tell you, one of the greatest things that man has ever known is a local Bible-believing church that proclaims the gospel, that defends the gospel, that propagates the gospel, that lives the gospel, that teaches the gospel, that, listen, tells others, friend, that there's hope and eternal life through the message of the gospel. That is Jesus Christ dying for our sins, being buried, but on the third and appointed morning coming out from among the dead, so that you and I that are lost can be saved. You and I that are lost can be justified in the sight of God. Sir, ma'am, listen. Paul gives us three aspects of the gospel. He speaks to us, friend, about the fellowship of the gospel, the furtherance of the gospel, the faith of the gospel, And I brought the other one in, the defense and confirmation of the gospel. And what a great privilege it is to be a part of those that partake in doing all of those. If you don't know the power of the gospel personally, you've never been saved, all you got to do is go to Jesus and tell Him that you're a sinner. And by the grace of God, you need to be saved. And that you believe in what Christ did at Calvary. And if you repent of your sin by faith to receive Him, you know what God will do? God will put you into His family. And then He'll allow you to be a part of those that fellowship in the gospel, seek to promote the gospel, further it, and to stand faithfully for it. Until the next time.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at the same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 1-0004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 1-0004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TomAndDebbie@InspirationalTruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at InspirationalTruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now, until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.